Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. We've got another great podcast for you. I paused for no reason. I paused because I was just looking at what I had to tell you about, and I'm super excited about it. Cameo, Steve Galanis has been on the show a couple times. He was just on like a week ago. I talked about him the other day because he ran into one of the companies we judged at Future Founders, Quavos. Hopefully everyone's connecting with Quavos. If you don't know, check out Quavos.com. I've plugged it a couple times. Nick, that's your free plugs, so you're all done with the plugs. But Cameo raised $12.5 million. They announced they raised $12.5 from the original investor in Snapchat. I'm going to leave that alone because Snapchat's getting a little bit of drama on their own front. But when they were invested in, Snapchat was a great idea. Now, it doesn't seem like it. It's not even a good idea for me to put my 10 shares at $6 in. That's how not good of an idea it is right now. But that does not say anything about Cameo, which I really do think, as Steve talked about on the show, if you go to technori.com right now, it's like the second post down there, about the fact that the Cameo is essentially the reinvention of the autograph, and I'm just super excited about the entire success story that is Cameo. His story is amazing, and they've got their grand opening, which you're not invited to, on, I think, December 12th. I just made fun of you because, but don't worry, you can't go, but we can go. Steve is one of those guys, but we'll take a bunch of pictures and share it on social so you can feel like you went. But if you want to know more about it and connect with people like it, you should check out the Cameo app. If you don't know what it is, it's pretty sweet. You can basically find all kinds of rich and famous and cool people. And for a small sum of money, sometimes a larger sum of money, you can get them to talk to you and say cool stuff and give you shout outs, which is awesome. So at any rate, you should definitely check out Cameo. Congrats, my friend Steven. Congrats very much. Today's podcast, we've got a great guest, Jeff Cohen, CMO of Cellular Labs. Looking forward to learning a lot more about Cellular Labs, what they do, where they're going, how they've bootstrapped their way to the point that they are now. But before we talk to Jeff, a little startup showcase.
As a passionate sports fan and a person who loves live music and really going out and experiencing these things in real time, I love going to the events. But the challenge is that ticket prices are only getting higher. And if you're a fan like me who's looking to get a deal on tickets, that normally means you're buying tickets from the secondary market. Unfortunately, because of how the market is, there's lots of fraud out there. And we see nationally more than $2.3 billion lost on fake tickets every year. So we look at that, we're like, well, gosh, that's a lot of money to lose, especially if you've been working hard for it. So what Bandwagon's doing is creating a database solution. So we're a business-to-business company. There's a software-as-a-service solution where we work with teams as well as ticket companies to help validate that the tickets are real before they're ever sold to the fans. And by doing that, we're helping the team identify who's in the venue on the day of the event. So you're able to buy a part of the company. So you're buying debt or, in some cases, equity. And so for Bandwagon, if you invest as low as $100, you're actually able to buy a piece of the company.
Bandwagon, it's a company that obviously you probably know well. Well, maybe you don't know well. We know well because we're in the event space. We do a lot of event stuff. And so naturally, I'm always interested in learning more about ways to solve sort of the weird, sticky problems that we get in the event space. And Bandwagon, I don't know if they are the one or they're not the one. I'm not sure if they solve the problem that we have. I feel like it's an interesting play, but anyway, it's something you should check out, republic.co/bandwagon, and you can learn more about what they're trying to solve, the problem, the startup opportunity, and obviously whether or not you want to invest in that company. Back to the podcast, back to the guest, Jeff Cohen. Jeff, do you see how I have to talk to myself? Isn't it just like I have to like have a conversation in my own head? But now I have to talk to a real human.
Yeah, now you can talk to me instead of just staring down and trying to figure out what they're going to say back to you, even though no one's saying anything back to you.
Or what the hell I'm going to say. Yeah. Like, some of these shows, I'm like, I'm reading it. And like, for those of you listening, sometimes most of the time we record the show is live. Today, we were a little delayed in getting our startup showcase pitches in. So it's like, I'm just like throwing them in. But it's so bizarre to be like, all right, you're having a conversation with yourself about this, and then you're going to stop and have a conversation with yourself about that. And now I have a conversation with a real human, which is
great. I think people who don't do podcasting don't get it, but it is an art.
Sometimes, yeah.
And it takes some time to perfect the art.
It's hard even after it's been years now, and it's still hard for me to like know what the hell I'm doing. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know. But
sometimes you just got to fake it.
It's all fake.
While you make it.
You just hope you make it. That's right. The key. The key is hoping you make it. Speaking of making it and faking it and getting to this point, you know, Cellular Labs is a company that has bootstrapped its way to this point. I don't think that people are necessarily familiar or as familiar with some of the companies in Chicago, but also just abroad, who are in the bootstrap sort of style. And I think that's a mistake. I think that we should be talking to more companies who are less, what's the right way, like trading cards passed around the VC community. Like the venture capital people and the media people have a vested interest, literally and figuratively, trying to promote the companies that they're putting their money in. And so, like, if there is no news, then we talk about, like I just did with Cameo, we talk about, like, boom, they raised $12 million. Look at this.
Right.
And the other ones, you just sort of go about their day making money and creating jobs, and they don't get any of the fanfare. And I'm trying really hard to change that narrative or create maybe non-traditional options for folks like you to get in on that conversation.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that people don't understand if you haven't bootstrapped is that the value of bootstrapping is that you hold on and retain your equity.
Yes.
And so when you do go to raise money, you have a longer track record, you have more experience, you have more numbers that are going to get you...
Should lead to value, like to more valuable positions, more favorable positions for you, the founder.
And so that becomes a competitive advantage because we don't need money. Money for us is an acceleration at this point.
Yep.
We don't need money to prove what we're doing. We don't need money to get to our next level. But if we want to get to our next level or the other or a higher level faster, then we need money. And so now we're looking to bring investors in under that instead of, hey, give us your money and we'll hope to prove that maybe this is something in the future, where you have to give a much bigger piece of your equity away to convince somebody to invest in you at that point.
This is also a reason that we've gotten so behind equity crowdfunding, both the non-accredited CF crowdfunding as well as Reg D and Reg A, where in a lot of cases companies, so like one of the challenges, I'm not saying that you guys will, and we'll get into to Solar Labs in a second, but one of the problems that I find with what's the best way to put this, with companies that have chosen to bootstrap for all the reasons you mentioned, or just didn't need the money, like that wasn't the way that they were making money from day one, basically.
Right.
The problem that they've had with investors, depending on the stage. So, like, let's say you guys are raising 100. If you're raising 100 million, different. You're talking institutional. You're probably talking to guys at Goldman Sachs. You've got a investment bank that's helping you along the way. Expectations, I would hope, have been told to you. There will be board members. You will have people that you answer to. Things are going to be different around here. But when you're trying to raise like 0 to 10, 20 million, one of the problems that I've noticed is, and even less than that, 1 million, 5 million, is that you built this, and the investors that come in are used to having people who've built nothing, and they're just talking about it. And so you have a really hard time working with the investors and having them not run their mouth or get into a position where it's more cooks in this kitchen than I ever wanted to. So we like equity crowdfunding both on the Reg D and Reg A, but also, of course, early stage, because it enables you to market your company, meet with thousands of would-be investors, and have them all get in on a note to raise money and then kind of just shut up.
Yeah.
And then you can raise individual people as needed.
I think you can also look at what type of investor you want.
Yes.
And it moves us to the power position of saying, is it, as we talk about in our leadership team, we're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing us.
Yep.
And that's a different position than when you're trying to pitch an idea and get someone to fund the idea to come in and prove a concept. We know that our concept works. And so we're looking, we know if anyone calls us for funding, we know exactly what we do and what we don't want. And we can have a very frank conversation with them on the first conversation. And if it doesn't work, we both go our own ways and we don't waste our time.
I feel like there's a terminology shift also there. It's like, I look at investors early stage or not early stage, depending, it doesn't even have to be early, but like, they're like stakeholders. Like, these are people who, they've invested in us. We have a fiduciary responsibility to try to return their investment, et cetera. I look at what you're looking at and sort of the deal that we recently did as partners. Yes, you're an investment partner. Like, you're putting money in, but you're not just putting money in. Like, there's an expectation you're going to do this and this and this, and we're going to do this and this and this in exchange for the money.
Right. Somebody who's bringing, as we say, you got to bring something more than money to the table.
Yeah.
We need somebody who can bring a deal to the table, or can bring a partner company to the table, or something else besides the money, because the money's out there.
Yeah.
If we wanted to raise the money, we could have raised the money years ago if we wanted to. We're looking for the right person to connect with us, the right organization to connect with us. You know, if they say, oh, well, we're going to move this guy down and he's going to become the president of your company, we're not interested. If they say, oh, we want a seat on the board, okay, great. Now we know how we want to talk to you yeah. about that. If they say, you know, we want you to move to
we want a royalty.
Right. We want you to move to Boston because that's where our office is. We know that we're not going to pick up and move. We have 52 employees, right? Yeah. Like those are the things we know we're not going to do. And so it makes it really easy to have the conversations and figure out who you should be talking to. And listen, it's all a time suck.
Yeah.
It's not, you can't say that it won't eat your time away when you're looking to raise money. Even when you're not looking to raise money and people are calling you to see if you want to raise money, yeah. it's a time suck. But it's a necessary part of taking your business to the next level in the long run.
Well, I think you always have to have your ears open, your eyes open on this. So we've danced around it, but like, let's actually talk about Seller Labs. Like, what is Seller Labs, and how did you sort of get into the role, and like, what is the big vision?
Yeah, so Seller Labs is a software for sellers and brands on the Amazon Marketplace platform.
Okay.
So a lot of people don't realize this, but a lot of times when you buy products on Amazon, you're not actually getting them from Amazon. You're getting them from a third-party seller who's selling them through the marketplace.
What is the percentage of that?
I think it hit 55% with the last numbers.
Would you say it's going up, or?
It's been dancing between, it's been going slightly up. My guess is, you know, it's definitely been leveling off, but it's been growing over the last 5 or 6 years by a point or two each year.
So I feel like it's a logical place that Amazon would want to maintain, like, its competitive advantage is that it isn't solely responsible for all of the work. And so the idea that you can have thousands of third-party sellers that are operating like they're real, I mean, they're not operating like they are real businesses.
Yes.
They're just small. Like, that is the new modern small business.
Well, and not only are they the new modern small business, they're also the new emerging brands.
Yeah.
And so you have these gigantic brands that we heard of today who were born out of the Amazon ecosystem, right? RX Bar, Buy Energy Drink, a company called Death Wish Coffee.
Yeah.
Right. Death Wish Coffee went on to have a Super Bowl ad through an Intuit business, you know, contest that was all driven from the relationship they'd built with their customers by selling on Amazon.
Yep.
And so it's created this new wave of brands being able to come to market that doesn't require you to go through the traditional brick and mortar type of opportunities. So our software, we're a SaaS company. Our software works and helps our brands with Amazon advertising, brand reputation management, and listing optimization.
Very cool. So, like, this is right down the alley of one of the things that I really like about, it's not just Amazon, but I think Amazon makes this more available than anything just because of the way that it operates. Etsy kind of did this too, but not the same. Is the idea of an influencer. And Amazon, like, at first they jumped all over it, and then they backed away from it, and now they've re-jumped on the, like, become an influencer on Amazon and whatever. And I think that, to your point, you talk about RX Bar. Like, I grew up with Peter and those guys and Jared from RX Bar, and so, like, I know that story very well. But I look at, like, you know, the modern day version of this, and there's another company that just launched called The Art of Sport, or Art of Sport, and it's got, you know, deodorant and whatever. It's like the new version. It's 2.0 of Axe, basically.
Right.
And I tried the product, and the guy in our office's brother is the guy behind it, and it's all cool. But really what it is, it's an influencer.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of athletes who got together, Kobe Bryant, James Harden, Javi Baez locally, like a bunch of athletes get together, they all invested in it, and essentially they go on Instagram, they wear, like, why would I take a picture with your product?
Right.
Why don't you take a picture with my product or somebody else's product, Art of Sport in this case, and then that helps push Art of Sport as a product, which we sell and distribute on Amazon.
Right.
And so there's this ability now for 5, 6, 7, 8 non-business people to create a great brand around whatever it is they love, and then find a partner or create it themselves to create a product that they can then sell or distribute or have distributed through Amazon. But they need partners to manage it, because most of these guys, like myself, that's not the business I'm in.
Yeah, and it's even turned into micro-influencers, right? So it's
I was told I am a micro-influencer.
You're a micro-influencer?
I feel like it's insulting, except that I'm okay. Like, I'm like, well,
I would say you're not a – I would not call you a micro-influencer. Micro-influencers are more like the women who post in the North Shore mom – Facebook.
That's
group.
Where I post.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So no, you don't. They'll kick you out if they find you.
Well,
you know, they're
my wife Jen
group.
Is like
she posts
like,
there. Yeah.
I'm like not even joking here. I am, but like she is on like the Glen Ellen Facebook page, and so like to your point here. The amount of brand influence that's going on in there about whether it's like baby strollers, you know, places to take kids, husbands trying to find great places in town to take wives for dinner. Like it is like a real market.
And so what happens is somebody goes in there and posts and says, where should I take my kids on a rainy day? And they'll get 400 responses, right? That's how we found out about all the great places to go look for Christmas lights.
Yep.
Right? They were all posted in there. That's what's happening on Amazon. And so what happens on Amazon is you find a new brand, like a Death Wish coffee, and you don't really know who they are, but you stumble across them and you start reading the reviews and you start to identify with the people who have written reviews saying, oh, that's me. I really like a bold coffee.
I like a Paul Kersey style coffee.
Right. I want something that lives on the edge. That's my personality. So then you buy it and you try it, and then you start posting in other places about it. And now all of a sudden they've got 400,000 influencers on Instagram. And, you know, and people always say, yeah, but they're Death Wish Coffee. And I go, yeah, but 4 years ago when I was sitting in a conference with Mike, who's the CEO of the company, they were doing, you know, around $1 million. He was buying his second roaster for the beans to try to figure out how to get out of his basement and move into a warehouse. And his business has just exploded through the community and the platform that Amazon provides. And we see this over and over and over again with different brands who choose Amazon as a specific platform or are trying to use Amazon as their growth platform. And then finally, the established brands who are realizing that their market share is being taken away from them because all of a sudden there are now 5,000 dog brushes being sold on Amazon. And they used to own dog brushes at Target because they were one of five people selling a dog brush at Target. And now they're losing all their sales because e-commerce sales is growing. I think it's going to be 13, almost 14% this year.
Yep.
And that's where people are shopping. And so it's not a brandless society that we've moved to. It's still branded. It's just that the big power brands don't hold all the power because they don't have the shelf power online because Amazon has an endless shelf.
So yeah, I think the big change you're pointing to, and I got to watch it firsthand working commercial real estate with shopping centers, but also in this whole space of like the contract of like disrupting large big companies, the Searses of the world. The Searses of the world killed themselves for a whole lot of reasons, but one in particular was that they tied to brands in-house that locked them in place where like the only place you can get the handyman was here.
Right.
Well, people shop everywhere now, and so you literally just killed yourself.
That was the old TV market, right?
Yeah,
where you had to buy it at Best Buy to get that deal, and it had one extra button, and the button didn't even work.
Yeah. So like, and so like to that point, like those products, like that's what Amazon feasted on, is they had the ability to get these people to basically like, you're locked in at Target, so
right.
you can't. To your point, though, I think that we are very product brand loyal still. Like I want a certain type of product that whenever I see a Dyson anything, I want to buy it. I don't know why, but I do. But we have gotten away from being location brand loyal. I don't care what mall, I don't care what store, I don't care who ships it, so long as the shit ships free and gets here.
Yeah.
But I do want my product. And that's where Amazon, all it is images.
But if you were at a friend's house and they had one of those automatic vacuum cleaners and you asked him about it and they said it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Yep.
Then
this happened. We ended up with a shark.
The Instant Pot.
Yeah.
The Instant Pot was an internet sensation.
We have that too.
Right. Like it was,
and the air fryer.
Right. Those were internet sensations because people were reading on different posts that you have to get this thing. And, you know, now you don't have to get one, you got to get two and all these other crazy things. And so the internet has done that, and Amazon has done that. And we try to help navigate people, you know, through that world.
So I totally get it. I totally understand that. I think it's really cool to me to sort of see the maturation of all of the tools that sort of bring people like me who have some influence in some categories to like actually being able to monetize this. It's one thing for me to do it like, okay, I'll mention a few things and then someone buys it and I've got a link. And if I'm so lucky that
right.
you use the link, I might get my 10%. To have tools in place that actually enable me not only to monetize it, but track it and build upon it and turn my brand into an actual business is what I think is really cool about what you guys do. We've got to wrap up here, but I want to have one Fakers and Makers question from John on pick the best one. Like, you better give us something good. Fakers, give me one.
Oh, Fakers and Makers this week. So NASA's InSight robot landed on Mars yesterday. You may or may not have heard about this. Its mission is to take photos and collect heat and seismic data and stuff like that, as if we're trying to move to Mars in the certain near future. Do you buy into this whole Mars thing, humans moving to Mars, studying Mars, or do you think we should just kind of like stick to Earth?
I don't think we should move to Mars. I don't see us moving to Mars. I mean, I think that we're doing some pretty cool things, right? We're going to tunnel from downtown Chicago all the way to the airport. So
I want to see that first.
Yes.
I'd like to see
baby steps.
Right.
Let's master Earth and not destroying it before moving to the next place.
Right. It's like we're trying to live these movies where we know we're destroying Earth and we need to go find a new place to live. But I agree. Let's master living in this world.
Yeah, Earth first, Mars second.
but space is so cool, and we all, you know, it's that untouchable. And but I do believe that we actually landed there, right? I don't believe it's a conspiracy theory.
What, on the moon or Mars?
Either Both. One.
Oh yeah. Well, humans on the moon. No, not on Mars yet.
Yeah.
I mean,
we got this like Star Wars generation growing
every
up.
Every day, I learn to distrust our government and its information more and more and more. So before this current president, I might have, he had nothing to do with it, so what the hell?
We trust these robot pictures from Mars?
I mean, I don't know. It could have been a screenshot from Total Recall. What the hell do I know?
No one's thinking it's fake.
Well, apparently, he doesn't. True, apparently, I'm the one who thinks of it. Yeah. Anyway, good question. I'm glad that we covered that. We like to throw a random question in there. Where do people go to learn more about Cellular Labs and sort of keep up with what you guys are doing?
Yes, cellularlabs.com. You can follow us on at the website. You can follow me on LinkedIn. And, you know, reach out if you have any questions.
Sweet. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Absolutely. You can learn more about upcoming Technori events, investment opportunities, check out the blog, many other things, subscribe to the newsletter, all of these good things at technori.com. Download the podcast on Spotify and follow us on social at technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.